Chris and Kira. Weekends from 11.
It actually, I know usually we're like, oh my God, what a busy weekend. So much was happening. This actually was a really busy weekend.
Do you know what was really interesting about it? It was a lot of births and a lot of deaths that were being celebrated.
That's
Chris,
deep, man. That is
in
deep.
A lot of regards. We had, of course, President Michael D. Higgins, our beloved Irish president. It was his 80th birthday, so we were celebrating that on Sunday. But on Saturday, Chris, we were chatting about the tribe in the South Pacific that see Prince Philip as a god.
That's not a joke, by the way, either.
No.
That's a real thing. That's a real group of people. What a
they see him as a reincarnated mountain spirit.
That's right, yeah, absolutely.
I think that's what we were chatting about, that.
Yes.
And also, Chris, we were talking about Kanye West, and he has decided, after his divorce Kim Kardashian, that he would like to date an artist so they can speak the same language. And then we just talked about his Yeezys, and I wouldn't really consider them
art.
Piece of art.
You wouldn't really consider them great art?
And also, I don't think I'd like to listen to a conversation between Kanye West and a female version of Kanye West, if I'm being deadly honest. But anyway, there you go.
I don't think such a conversation could happen. I think they'd both just be screaming at each other to a point where, like, it wouldn't work. Yes, however, though, also on Sunday, which was fun, we were chatting about the fact that it is indeed Michael D. Higgins' birthday. We marked the occasion by playing a clip of him and Kira talking about horses, and he gave Kira a recommendation which didn't come through for a horse bet.
It was completely wasted on me because I have no idea how to bet on anything.
No, it's not that it was wasted on you. It also didn't win, Kira. Let's not absolve him completely of responsibility here.
It was wasted on me because I remember that day specifically. I just picked the horse with the nicest name.
But that's how that's how a lot of people bet, Kira. Don't feel bad. That's
really, is it though, Chris?
I think it's how a lot of casuals would bet. Yeah, absolutely, based on either the name or the colour of the jockey's kit. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, well, I wouldn't pick the colour of the jockey's kit. That's just ridiculous.
That's ridiculous. Yeah, you're right, Kira, of course. Yes. Picking it based on the name though, that's fine. Alright, look,
so if you ever see me at the races, stand clear, because I would just be like throwing my money on beautiful and sweet, are names that mean something to me, Chris.
Oh my God, this horse's name is Honey in Irish. That is beautiful. That's like what you'd be doing, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Of course it is.
Well, listen, nothing wrong with that, Kira. It's about as effective a way as anything. Actually, no, I shouldn't say that. Apparently, I don't understand it either, but apparently there is a science to horse racing if you're good at it, like in studying form and all.
I think you need to be good with numbers. That's what I think.
Yeah, I hear you. Listen.
You know when somebody says something is 10 to 1? Mm-hmm. I have no idea what that means.
Oh, you don't, Kira.
Oh, no, I've like literally no idea. I'm like, oh, cool, is that good?
Oh, no, okay, so sorry. Now that we're here. Sure, look, now that we're here and we're not on the air, we can take as long as we want with this.
Okay, if you said to me, Kira, there's a horse and it's got 10 to 1, I can't even use it in a sentence.
Okay, let me put these to you and I'll explain everything.
Don't even start with aggregates and all that sort of stuff because I have no idea what that means.
Oh, like those things like accumulators and stuff and all that is kind of complicated. However, Kira, if I told you there's two horses running, there's horse A running and there's horse B running, okay? Mm-hmm. Horse A is 10 to 1.
Okay.
Horse B is 5 to 1.
Okay.
Out of that, which horse is more likely to win?
5 to 1.
Okay. You're not hopeless. That is correct. That means that there's more betting activity on that horse, and it is more likely maybe that horse will win. He will be the favorite out of those two.
Okay.
If there's 10 to 1. So if I bet 10 euro on the 5 to 1 horse, what do I get back if he wins?
100 euro?
50 euro. You were close.
Oh, okay.
So it's 5 for every 1. So as in, that's how it works. So as in, with 5 to 1, if I put on 1 euro, I get 5 back if he wins.
Okay.
If I put on a tenner, I get whatever. I think.
50.
I'm pretty sure that's kind of the long and the short of it. Did you really not know that's how an odd is? Wow. God bless you.
No, Kira. When I say I've never placed a bet ever.
Wow. You don't even like do the Grand National, the like, you know, fiver on the Galway races?
I think some other people have done it for me.
They say,
Kira, do you want to be part of this? And I go, yeah. And I hand over my money. And
and then never see it again. Yeah.
And then never see it again. So,
wow. Fair enough. Yep. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, like, not to be funny, Kira, I don't think you're missing anything. It's probably not a good thing to, like, as in, you know, you could say it's fine to not be good with gambling. Mm-hmm. It's not for everyone. You know what I mean? I certainly don't gamble. I don't know. I'm not that good at it. You know what I mean? Like, I try. Mm-hmm. Like, as in, I do gamble occasionally. I'll be like, oh, you know, it's the Galway races. And then I completely lose. I have no idea what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. It's awful. And I have no strategy, nothing. So I'm with you. It's, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm left out. But look, I'm glad we...
Oh, yeah. We also talked about takeaways. Now, that is something I'm good at.
Oh, hell yeah, girl. Yeah, tell you something. You give me a Just Eat menu, I know what I'm doing with it. Never mind.
I would never steal anybody else's takeaway. And that's what myself and Chris were chatting about this weekend. There's a new craze, especially this year, I suspect, because everybody is ordering a lot more takeaway than maybe they would have before, that people are stealing other people's takeaway orders. What the hell?
It's sick, Kier. Absolutely sick. Quite frankly.
And I thought I'd kind of learned everything bad about humanity at this stage. Like, I really,
never
really...
stops surprising you, does it, Kier?
Yeah, well, no,
I'll
it
tell
doesn't.
You something.
It
well,
doesn't.
Listen. All of that and more. Here we go. Let's enjoy. I didn't know about this, Kier, till you told me this morning. And I'm usually quite up to date on all the latest Kanye West news, but I was not aware of this.
Well, Kanye West, Chris, as we know, is in the middle of a divorce from Kim Kardashian.
Yes, it's very
and
sad.
Seemingly, it is reported that he already knows the sort of person that he wants to date when all of this is done, Chris.
Mm-hmm. And you know, that's a very tasteless thing to come out with, like while you're in the middle of something like that. The mother of your children, a divorce, and to be talking about like what you're going to do next, so to speak. Like, man, give it a little bit of breathing room, you know?
But what he says is even unfair to Kim Kardashian because, you know what I mean? Like, opposites attract. You don't have to be the exact same person as your other half. I mean, you know, life has to be interesting. Seemingly, Kanye is hoping to get into a relationship, and I say this in air quotes, with an artist and a creative person so that Kanye feels that he can speak the same language with an artist.
I see. I see.
Now, in fairness to Kim Kardashian, she has built a billion-dollar empire on the likes of creating makeup and clotheslines and all that sort of stuff, which you could say is very artistic and creative in itself.
It's an expression, absolutely. Of course it is. Know, it is an articulation of creativity, sure. Yeah, but Kanye, obviously not intellectual
also,
enough for Kanye.
You see, this is it on a side note. I could... Okay, I'm going to be deadly honest with you. If someone said to me, Kira, we've set you up on a date with Kanye West, I'd be like a grand. Thanks a million.
Kira, can I give you... a simulation.
But I go just for an experience of it.
Well, Kira, we could, in fairness. So imagine this, right? Someone says, Kira, we've set you up. Of course, your agent, Kanye West's agent, you both get together. You're both two powerful people. You know, you're both two titans, Kira. And they say, this would be really good if we got Kira spotted with Kanye West, all right? And they say, Kira, listen, all you have to do, like, all you have to do is sit down and have a dinner with him. So hold on, we'll get rid of this music. Could you manage this, Kira? Imagining... your sway in the morning, of course, and Kanye West is Kanye West.
We got to both sign that contract.
So imagine you say, oh, Kanye, I see you design shoes. You could start a conversation like that with him, couldn't you, Kira? Mm-hmm. I mean,
yes.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
Mark Parker. I'm going to put Mark Parker all on that Summer Jam screen. And by the way, Mark Parker, yes, I will still accept an investment in Donda. I got some more ideas that don't involve shoes. But if you guys are investing in the arts... mm-hmm. Y'all want to invest in this school in Brazil? Y'all want to go to Africa? I'm standing up and I'm telling you, I am Warhol.
Okay.
am the number one most impactful artist of our generation. I am Shakespeare in the flesh. Walt Disney, Nike, Google. Now, who's going to be the Medici family and stand up and let me create more? Or do you want to marginalize me till I'm...
This is 39 seconds into your date, Kira. Are you not feeling this so far?
Well, here's the thing. I don't think that he would agree with my... I think his Yeezys are horrendous. I don't understand. I do not understand how they make so much money. And like, I know they do that smart thing where they release low numbers of limited editions and then that keeps the demand high because there's some part of the human psyche that's like, I need to have what I cannot have. So I understand that. But like, Chris, I think it was about 2 days ago, I saw that there's an auction in Sotheby's auction house. And his Nike Air Yeezy 1 prototypes, he wore them to the Grammys in 2008.
Sure.
They are up for auction and they're estimated to get around $1 million.
The sneakerhead culture is weird. Sorry, Chris, to
just interrupt you there. This is what this is the head of streetwear and the Modern Collectibles of Sotheby's said. He said that the shoes were critical to the development of the Yeezy franchise, which became, the first part of that sentence I agree with, and then which became one of the most important sneaker and lifestyle brands in history.
Yes. Well,
no. Like, come on. Well, like, we need somebody like that to hype us up because this is bull, and you know it as well as I do.
It sounds like Kanye West wrote that press release from the guy from Sotheby's. Like,
out of my moment.
Or why don't you empower yourself and don't need them and do it yourself?
Take
a few steps back. To go
you ain't got the answers, man. You ain't got the answers. You ain't got the answers. You ain't got the answers, Sway.
There's Kanye having an artistic conversation with somebody.
Imagine having an argument with him.
Yeah, imagine having to do anything domestic in your house with that. Mm-hmm. Imagine having to be like, Kanye, did you pay the car insurance?
Kanye, I've been doing this more than you.
Come on, chill out.
You ain't got the answers. You ain't got the answer.
Oh, my Lord.
Yep, I know.
So he's looking for a more intellectual... fair enough.
Now, if you find... I actually don't want to even see that. Kanye West finding someone exactly like him.
Imagine another version of that talking to that.
Imagine a female version of that talking to that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, nobody needs that, in fairness. Sure. And am I wrong about Yeezys?
No, I mean, they're fine. But as you say, it's the limited edition vibe, which is often what they do with sneakers to pump up the value. They say, there's only 5 pairs of these, so they're probably going to go for 10 million each. And amazingly, there's people with the money to spend on that type of stuff. Like,
yeah, look, I get it. If Yeezys were aesthetically pleasing, or if they looked like a cool pair of trainers, fine, but they don't.
Yeah, no, I hear you. I hear you here.
For the first time ever, that song has not reminded me of the start of the pandemic last year.
It's really interesting you say that, because usually coming out of that track, you and I reference the fact that that song basically gives us PTSD because it was from the start of the pandemic. But this time though, Kira, I didn't feel the need to say that.
Neither of us were like, yeah. I didn't even, just towards the end, I was like, oh, that's that song. Weird.
Do you think that's a good thing or a bad thing though? That we've become so, you know, here's the reality, Kira. We've been in a lockdown now for a year. So I think we're just used to it at this point. I don't know if it's a good or a bad thing anymore. I can't even tell what day of the week it is half the time anymore. Yeah. However, for some reason coming out of that, I said, you know what? That's just a nice song. I'm not going to refer to the fact that it gives Kira and I PTSD about the pandemic, because I don't know if it does anymore. I think it's just... This is our new normal, as they say, Kira. But hopefully, within the, you know what? 2024, I'm hoping we're out of lockdown, okay? That's what I'm setting my sights on. I think we'll have everything in order by then, and we should have a normal life back, hopefully, by 2024. I mean, that's what I'm... January 2024.
So my thinking behind this is that Prince Philip went to visit this island in the South Pacific in the 1970s, and the tribe on this island... believed that the queen's husband was a reincarnation of an ancient warrior who went to fight a war and would return with a rich white wife. Which
Listen, don't we all want a rich white wife, Kira? Isn't that what we're all looking for? But it says, according to the legends, the son of mountain spirit traveled over the seas to a distant land where he married a powerful woman. That's what they believe, and they believe Prince Philip is that man. And lest you think we're joking here, a few years ago, they went to this island and they interviewed these people. They interviewed one of the gentlemen there who speaks English, and we've a few clips from it. So obviously, because of course, Prince Philip is being buried today, they believe that he will be reincarnated. You know how we believe like Jesus was reincarnated, you know, not reincarnated, but as in, you know, resurrected. They believe something similar is going to happen with Prince Philip, Kira, just so you know.
Yeah, in Tana, we believe that Prince Philip is the son of our god.
Yeah.
Our ancestral god who lives up in the mountain.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's what they believe. And they have a few kind of theories on why it is the way it is and why they believe it and what it brings to their life. So
we ask him for...
By the way, that guy that was kind of chanting there was talking to the spirit of mountain god Prince Philip, just so you know, Kira. That's now this guy is explaining what he was doing.
For increase the production of our crops in the garden, or to give us the sun or rain, and it happens.
So they all pray to the god Prince Philip when they want something like fertility or better crops or you know, better weather. This is the oddest thing I think I've ever seen. Like, and I say that with no sense of exaggeration or anything. This is absolutely mind-melting. Like, I would still think this is a joke if people weren't treating it seriously.
So he went on a trip to, is it Vanuatu?
I think it's
the island called Tana, I think, and this is an area called Vanuatu, and they're the Vanuatu.
I think it's Vanuatu,
tribe.
I think.
Vanuatu
but
tribe,
like
okay.
Potato, potato, do you know? But I think it's Vanuatu.
So following their visit in 1974, the group requested that he sent them an official photo of himself, and he obliged. And as thanks, they sent him a pig killing club where he then photographed himself and he sent it back to the tribe. So he's kept the relationship with the tribe open, in fairness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're going to there's a Vanuatu-based journalist called Dan McGarry, and he told the BBC that the tribe is now going to enter a mourning period. This was last week. Mm-hmm. And this period will most likely include ritualistic dances, a procession of a shrine built out of memorabilia from Prince Philip. And then the final mourning period will culminate in a significant gathering. And there's going to be a great deal of wealth on display, mm-hmm. which will include produce such as yams and kava plants and stuff like that. Excuse me. So there you go.
I tell you something. There's a few more clips here we have of...
Yeah, it was like, you know, because...
By the way, this is them describing... Because they got to come to Europe. They were allowed to go to the... I actually think these guys were in Buckingham Palace. I think they met Prince Philip a few years ago in London. And I say that with no joke. This is also true.
Yeah, it was like, you know, because he's the... We believe that he's the son of our God. And meeting him is just... It's just wonderful, you know.
Yeah.
It's just like being in a place where, or like being in a spiritual world. You know, in 2007, that was the 19th of March when I met him in Windsor Castle, which is in northwest of Lantin City.
Yep. In 2007, they were allowed go to Windsor Castle and meet Prince Philip. Like, in one way, I'd be terrified of letting this group of people meet me. Like, if there was a group of people that worshipped you and I don't think I'd want to be anywhere near them. You know what I mean? I'd be like, that's a very dangerous group of people if they think you and I are worth paying attention to. So I can only imagine he said, guys, are we sure we want to let this group of people that that think I'm the son of a mountain god? I mean, are we sure we want to meet
the movement
him?
Will...
Oh, this is, by the way, what he says of the movement in the future, what will happen, and how Prince Philip will live on, Kira.
The movement will always continue.
Yeah.
And from my opinion, or from what we believe, the spirit in Prince Philip won't die.
And there you go, Kira. So on his funeral today...
They did, Chris. They came to London a couple of years back, and it was documented for a documentary.
God almighty.
Mm. Wow. It was an experiment in what some might call reverse anthropology, in fairness. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Five men from the small hillside of Tanna came to London.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, look, there you go. I would imagine they are devastated by this news. But of course, Prince Philip's funeral is today. However, that gentleman that we heard speaking there, he thinks
Prince Philip won't die.
Yeah, Prince Philip will never die, as far as he's concerned. Because, you know, he's a powerful man who married a white wife and is the son of the mountains. So, I mean, look, what more do you want? So there you go. An alternative view on some of the mourning that's going on. For, you know what, it's funny as well, this tribe still makes a lot more sense than a lot of the Facebook dads I've seen posting things over the last week about the royal family. So listen, I'm actually more willing to to be a part of these guys' movement.
What are you talking about, Chris? There was no hot takes whatsoever.
I'm more willing to get down with these guys than half of the other people I've seen online. It's Mango and Mathman. One of our finest Irish experts, I'll have you know, Kira, along with Michael D. Higgins. Michael D. actually endorses that Mango and Mathman personally. He's told me before. He said it to me, he says that he thinks they're great. And I'm like, Michael D., I hear you. But listen.
Yes, indeed. Our president, Michael D. Higgins, celebrates his 80th birthday today. And we're fond of him on the show, Chris. I think it's fair to say.
Oh, absolutely we are. Hugely fond of him, yes. I think we all are. You know, it's great. I'd love a job like that as well, where you're the president of Ireland, because you don't have to make any decisions. Do you know what I mean? Everyone just likes you because you're not in, you know what I mean? You're not in politics. As such, you're not making any hard choices. Everyone likes Michael D. It's awesome.
Yeah, but Michael D's been around for a while as well, Chris.
He's done his time. Oh,
yeah,
Jesus,
we've had a chance to see and experience his personality and his poetry and his love of the Irish language and his love of Ireland in general. And he was interviewed and, you know, he was asked what his plans were for his 80th birthday. And obviously he's not having any big mad session now in the Irish, Chris. He said that he was going to check out TG Carr because they have put together an hour-long special to celebrate Michael D. Higgins' birthday with some of Ireland's finest poets, musicians, playwrights and dancers, which is something I'd imagine is very, very typical of what President Michael D. Higgins would do on his 80th birthday.
Sure. That's exactly how we should celebrate him. However, Kira, I feel you and I have a lot that we can give to the celebrations too. Never mind music and artistry and all that from the finest playwrights and poets in Ireland. Never mind any of that, Kira. We have a clip of you with Miguel D and also Miguel D getting really angry at a conservative US talk show host. Kira, what will we start with on this extravaganza?
Let's start with the right-wing talk show host, Chris.
Well,
how about that?
This is interesting. So this is Miguel D talking to Michael Graham. And Michael Graham is a conservative, we'd say conservative by our standards, US radio host. And he has come over here to do debates because at one point he was very popular because he used to be on George Hook's old show. He used to come on like every week and, you know, mix it up, so to speak, Kira. Tell it like it is, as they would say, right? So
gotcha.
He was quite controversial. Yeah, yes.
Yeah.
Right, yeah, exactly. So he was quite controversial. He said some unpalatable things. And here is Migledy absolutely roaring at him. And you know what's absolutely great? That we have a president who swears at people when he gets angry. Like, obviously, we've bleeped it here. But what other country has that? Like, what other country? Like, that is just, it's wonderfully Irish here. Let's have a listen.
Young people from the United States are traveling all over the world again. They're welcome in Europe. They're backpackers in hostels. People are talking to them because the image of the United States we've got away from this warmongering is getting better. At least 47 million people that the likes of you condemned to no health care in a country that I was proud to work in. These people are going to have some health care. Okay. So this is the issue. So therefore, be proud to be a decent American rather than being just a whipping up fear.
Yeah.
Oh, incredible. Absolutely. Like, that was about healthcare because, like, this conservative guy was saying there shouldn't be, like, you know the way they hear, like, there's universal healthcare, like, as in you can go to the hospital and get... So anyway, it was one of those debates, and obviously Migledy told him what was what, Kieran.
Yes, he did. I've been lucky enough to interview Michael D twice, Chris, and both times, though, I... this is going to sound really weird. I found out with, like, 2 minutes to go. I was in the Bloom Festival and I was recording something for the 6 o'clock show.
Yes.
And the next thing, someone said to me, Kira, the president is over there. Would you go for an interview about gardens? So I had no prep. I had no nothing. The next thing I know, I'm standing in front of Michael D with a mic in my hand. Sabina is beside him and I'm talking to him about gardens. And I walked away. That was my first time ever meeting him. And the second time I met him, I was again recording something with the 6 o'clock show. And I was at the Galway races for the first time. And I know that's sad because I'm a Galway person, but I never really went to the Galway races, you know?
Sure,
sure. So I asked him about, again, like that, I got a Kira, the president is over there. Will you go over and interview him? And I was like, what? How come I just don't get time to prepare myself? Like, you know what I mean?
That's probably better, though. No, you'd psych yourself out, you see. I'd be hearing about that for 6 months. If you knew were going to interview him, oh my God, you'd torture yourself. Mm-hmm. And you'd be
so
like, oh, I have a quote
weird.
For him from his favourite poem. I'm going to start with that. And then, like,
I'm going to write a poem for him.
Yeah, it's better that you don't know and that you're just thrown into it. So was this meeting him at Galway Races, this was your second time meeting him?
This is my second time meeting him. Second time where I had literally less than 2 minutes to prepare anything to say to him.
Well, let's have a listen. Here we go. This is fun, though. It's great that you've gotten to meet him. Like, this is... I like it.
Well, I'm from Galway, but I'm a complete novice to the Galway races. Yes. So do you have any tips for me now for the next couple of days?
Well, it's very, very hard, you know. It's very competitive. I'm probably going to back number 10, Gordon Elliott's horse in the big in the race.
Okay, thank you.
But don't blame me.
If I lose, okay, I won't.
Did you back the horse he recommended, number 10?
Of course I did.
Did he win?
No.
Oh. Okay.
And what's so funny about this is I don't put a flutter on. Is that how they say it?
Yeah, have a flutter. Yeah, yeah.
I don't have a flutter. Yeah. That was my first time at the Galway races. I think I put on a bet, but like somebody had to do it for me because you know me when it comes to numbers.
You probably didn't even know how. Yeah, yeah.
Odds,
like there's each way, and there's like even. Yeah, you were probably just like.
I was like, let's pick the horse with the nicest name, guys.
Sure.
You know that sort of way.
Of course.
So I just panicked, and he had a program in his hand. And I didn't know the protocol because I don't know, are you allowed to ask the President of Ireland whether he's placing a bet or not?
I'm sure you are. Betting is legal. He was at a legal event for betting. I'm sure, like, and he did answer you as well as he could, I feel, Kira, even though his tip didn't come through. Mm-hmm. Wow. Imagine.
I love how he like threw the blame, you know, off himself and was like, "Well, now if the horse doesn't win, don't blame me."
Like, he's still a politician, Kira. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
he still
exactly.
has to cover himself. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Of course. That's cool. Well, listen, I'm actually kind of, in a way, I'm really disappointed that he didn't yell at you like he was yelling at Michael Graham. Like, that would have been more fun.
that would have ended me.
It's a pity that he was more polite and everything. But listen, Kira, there you go. Michael D, maybe not the best man if you're looking for a punt on a horse. However, obviously a champion of human rights and healthcare and a wonderful poet and orator. So isn't that what we should focus on, Kira?
Exactly.
Yeah. All right. Absolutely. Well, there you go. He is he 80 today? He is.
He's 80 today. And it's so
goodness.
Funny. Yeah.
Anyway.
I dug up an old photo of me and him as well.
Oh, you have to post that on the gram, Kira. Come on.
Chris, here's the thing. I've seen this obviously a lot online this year, and it's because a lot of people are obviously at home. People are getting sick and tired of cooking because we can't go out to restaurants. So people are ordering an awful lot of takeaway.
Sure. Absolutely.
And what I saw online was a couple of people tweeting about how for the second time they had ordered, I think it was Indian food. It had been delivered to the wrong address again. So this was the second time it had been delivered to the wrong address. But the address that it was sent to didn't get back in contact to say that they'd been given the food and they ate it instead.
That is absolutely treacherous.
Like, it is treacherous, and it's something that wouldn't even enter my mind. If takeaway food arrived at my door, I'd be like, I didn't order that.
The things us humans do to each other. Do you know what I mean? The absolutely unspeakable cruelties we visit on each other. But that for me is horrible.
Seemingly this is pretty widespread. So 51552, I'm just really interested to know, has this ever happened to you? And also, if you were the recipient of food that you had not ordered, would you not go and try and find the owner of the food? Because we all know what it's like to be hungry. We all know what it's like to wait for takeaway food. It's almost like a drug, really, isn't it? You're just waiting to get high.
100%.
And you're anticipating that knock or your doorbell ringing. Your food that you've waited probably an hour and a half for has arrived. You're salivating at the mouth. And then somebody else has taken it. Like, I can't believe this is an actual thing. And it was Irish Twitter users, Chris, that I saw post this on their Twitter.
You're so right, though, because as well, I feel like that when you're waiting for the food, you are in almost a heightened, as you say, you are like somebody like almost waiting for that fix. Like, there's a little bit of adrenaline. You're waiting for the knock on the door. And I always do this, and I probably shouldn't. I always order when I'm hungry. So then by the time it gets there, like,
you're
almost
hangry.
Too hungry. Yeah, you see, I'm hangry. So then if someone were to do this to me, I honestly don't know how I would react. Like, this should be considered grounds for a crime of passion. This should be a legitimate defense to murder.
There has been times, Chris, when I've waited a really long time for food and I can feel myself because I'm hangry, and I'm at my worst when I'm hangry.
Oh, God, yeah.
As are an awful lot of human beings,
sure.
I'd imagine. But
yeah.
I'm pretty placid most of the time. I kind of let a lot of things go. But when I'm hangry, boy, oh boy, you don't want to mess with me. So there has been a couple of delivery guys that have arrived at my doorstep.
Oh, no, Kira.
And they've been like, we're really sorry. No. I used to want to snap, and then obviously I was just like, take a minute. It is not the delivery person's fault. They are not the reason that, you know, your food
sure,
is late or
absolutely.
Delayed or anything like
absolutely.
That. These poor people are cycling around on bikes around a city, you know, putting up with all sorts of crap. Calm down. But
very grown of you.
I have
very
to
mature.
Say,
yeah.
If my food had been delivered to another house and the person inside that house had taken my food, Chris, I don't know. Could I be responsible for my actions?
Oh, no, that's different.
Has this ever happened to you? Now, personally, it's never happened to me.
Oh, no. Firstly, that house, as you say, Kira, you're directing your anger correctly there. And it's very mature of you to be able to say, no, it is absolutely not the delivery driver's fault. But if a house intentionally took it, a neighbor of mine, oh, my God, I would consider stabbing them. Like, absolutely, Kira,
okay,
100%.
Chris,
100%,
Kira. I know you don't mean that.
Yes, of course, I don't mean that. However,
what would you do? Like, I would go over and I would knock on the house. Like, let's say I got back onto the restaurant and they said, oh, we delivered to such and such place. I'd be like, oh, that's down the road. What would you do if you went over to the house and you said, hey, I've been told that my food that I ordered has arrived here and they deny it. Like, what would you do?
Oh, my God. That's the kind of thing that could start a feud for years. Like, that's the kind of thing that I would bring into the next generation. Like, I would be infuriated.
51552. Have you ever been in a situation where your food has been delivered to the wrong house and the neighbours don't fess up? Or have you ever been that person where food that you haven't ordered has arrived to your house and you've eaten it?
That's sick. That is absolutely sick if you are such a person. Let me tell you something. I used to be a delivery driver. I used to be a delivery driver for a Chinese restaurant in Galway. And I do remember one of the things that I had to contend with, which was, and this was 10 years ago, you know what I mean? This was before apps and everything. This was when you made an order on a phone and I had a map, and then I had to go around a housing estate and be like, what number? Now, is this ordnance survey map out of date? But anyway, that's an aside. However,
well,
one of
I've
the...
I've got a question for you well, after this. But
one of the things I used to have to deal with was people trying to intercept other people's orders. Absolutely.
Are you serious?
Absolutely.
Here's the thing about a food order. Like, I have a very specific food order when I order Indian food or Thai food.
Sure.
I have a certain starters that I'll order. I have a certain main course that I'll order. Certain sides that I'm going to order.
Yes.
Just because I like it doesn't mean that the person who accidentally receives it is going to like it. So why would you take that risk? in eating a food that mightn't be of your taste. No, seriously.
Well, I think this might be a case of beggars can't be choosers. You know, these guys are just looking for free meals. But genuinely, they would try and intercept it. So as in, especially if it was a busy housing estate, someone would be, we'll say, on a path. And you see, because they could tell a delivery driver a car, because you always drive in a little bit more slowly. It's always usually a small car, like an Opel Corsa or Ford Yaris. You know, like it's Toyota Yaris. It's one of these like small little mom cars that usually guys my age would have been driving if they were delivery drivers. Do you know what I mean? So they can tell who's coming, and they can often, you can see them clock that it's you. Now, I got very good at seeing who was intercepting an order as well. Let me tell you something. These streets are wild, Kira. Do you know what I mean?
This is it. I'm sure you would have copped eventually, been like that person.
You could start. You got to be the point where it was very easy to tell who was trying to intercept it. But Kira, let me tell you something. I hate to crush your innocence like this. I hate to show you an ugly side of the world, but this is absolutely a thing. People to try and intercept your order, Kira, is very much a thing. Yeah, I know. I know, Kira.
I mean, I've seen a lot, I've heard a lot, I've witnessed a lot, I've experienced a
yes,
lot.
Yes, yeah.
But this has floored me.
I know.
This has genuinely made me stop my tracks and be like, what? And oh, don't get me wrong. I know that there's people that are hard up. I know there's people that can't afford food. I know that people, you know, find week on week very, very tough to survive.
Sure. Yeah, I hear you.
You know? But like, you're going to get found out, because you can always ring the restaurant and say, well, actually, where did the delivery driver deliver it
to?
You
see, there you go. Yeah.
So you're risking a confrontation. You're risking falling out with your neighbour. And you're risking being a decent human being as well at the same time. But like, hey, listen, this got delivered to my house. Actually, I think it belongs to you.
Yeah, no, now,
Chris,
of course. Yeah.
Question for you.
Yes.
Did you ever knock on a door where you had a delivery ordered for?
Yeah.
And they didn't answer?
Never. Now, there's been times where it has taken a little while, and I did think, I was like, surely this person, like, you're waiting for food. I mean, God Almighty, you're not right beside the door. It's taken a while. It has never happened. It's ironically happened.
So you've never had any spare takeaway left?
Oh, I have had situations where I will be like, here's X, here's Y, here's Z, and then they'll be like, I didn't order Z. And then I'll be like, you didn't order Z? Oh, right. And then they'll be like, no, I didn't. You keep that. I'm not paying for that. And I was like, that's absolutely fine. And then I might go back to the restaurant and be like, no, they didn't order that, man. Anyway, so then I would maybe have a little snack in my car, Kira. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Oh, my goodness.
Good.
Yes, absolutely.
That's what I wanted to hear.
Oh,
that's
my goodness. My car stank for 3 years of Chinese food, Kira. It really was. It was beautiful. Every time I got into it,
it
smelled like...
Did you ever come across something weird when you delivered food?
No. Do you know what's so weird as well? You know all those, like, especially I was a young man, you know, in his late teens, early 20s, of course. I'm like, you know, one day some gorgeous woman is going to answer the door. She's going to say, why don't you come in? Close to naked, maybe a little bathrobe or something. It's never women who answer the door in those states of undress, Kira. Let me tell you. It is
really?
Never, ever women who come to
men
the door.
Do.
Oh, yeah. Men, sure, men will come out, everything hanging out and flapping around and saying thanks for the food. But no, strangely enough.
Get a new career.
Never women, Kira. Never. Yeah, I know, right, Kira? Let me tell you something. If you're in the market for window shopping of that nature, oh, my goodness. Come out with me. We'll do a session. Absolutely.
Did you ever arrive to a door and you were like, there's something weird going on here, like a hostage situation or some sort of, I don't know, meeting of criminals, or like, was there nothing juicy, Chris?
I'll tell you what it is that I used to find really funny about the guys that would try and intercept the food. A lot of the time it would happen when you were delivering to college estates, I have to say. That's like when half the time there was one particular estate and I was like, here we go. It's going to be six people coming out claiming this food is for them.
Yeah. Galway City.
There were certain estates and you'd be like, okay, X, Y, and Z. Okay, I know that when I drive in there in my delivery van, nine different kids are going to come over and be like, oh no, that's our food. Yeah, no, that's definitely ours. Yeah, yeah. So anyway, I mean, you have to get good. You have to learn quickly. That's all I'm saying.
Kira,
you don't even know the half
There's
of it.
There's a documentary in that, Chris.
Kira, you don't know the half of it. You and I will pitch that to RTE. Me and you will go out in a car. We'll be the delivery driver. We'll be a driver for one of these companies for a week or two. And I'll show you the world, Kira.
We'll have one of those crap cameras inside the car.
GoPro camera. Yeah.
You know, like with the cops use.
Oh, dash cams. Yeah, of course.
Cams.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. You will have one of those.
Running out of cars.
That's right.
Running around the streets.
You'll see the car pulling up to a house and both of the doors sliding open, and then on the dash cam, us running in front of the car and trying to wrestle the person to the ground who's stolen the food. Oh my God, I love it, Kira. I love it.
Chris, a lot of people are texting in to tell us of their takeaway woes.
Horrifying, I know.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Some people say, oh my God, that is horrible, carry on. We ordered pizza a few weeks back and they got the order wrong. We rang on the phone straight away to rectify the order. It got delivered somewhere else.
Terrible.
Hey guys, I used to live in a house of five people. Two pizzas get delivered to our house with the other address on the box. The food was sitting there for an hour before we realized. We rang the takeaway and they told us to enjoy it. There you go.
To enjoy. Well, listen, how about this? Speaking of takeaway, actually, God, there's a lot of takeaway going on. Are all our lives just consumed by takeaway now? I think so. If you like your takeaways, then you'll be slobbering all over 2FM next week. That is very now blue. That's a very blue way of saying it now, slobbering all over. I don't know if I find that appropriate. But you could win yourself takeaway for two every week for a whole year on us. The 2FM takeout starts Monday on Breakfast with Darren, all right? So you have to keep your ears peeled for that. I mean, who wouldn't want to win that, in fairness? Come on. Wow. Well, I tell you something, Kira, what more do you want? That show was full of drama, full of excitement.
Yeah, I'm still sitting here trying to think of like 5-1, 10-1.
You're still not entirely...
Let's say something is 100-1. That's like a really outside chance, right?
Exactly, because if you bet €1 on it, you'd get back 100. So obviously, the bookie, he wants to make money. So that's such an outrageous bet that he doesn't think he's going to have to pay you that. Do you see what I'm saying? That's why it's at 100-1. Because it's very unlikely that it's going to happen. But as you said, I think earlier you mentioned something like evens or something, didn't you? And you said, I don't know what evens means. Oh, maybe...
Aggregate.
Aggregate. I don't know what aggregate is. I think you mean accumulator. I don't know if aggregate's a betting... It could be a betting term. I'm also clueless.
No, I don't think so. I think I'm thinking of football leagues.
I have no idea. That is winning on aggregate or winning... Yeah, that's completely different. That's to do with like goals from a previous match and stuff and all. This is Kira. They're two totally unrelated concepts. But again, both involve numbers. So instantly Kira's like, no, no way. I can't do it.
I'm out.
Probably just as well, Kira, because look, unless you're good at that stuff, you're probably going to lose money. But how about this? You and I sometime, Kira, they might do a Galway races this year. You and I will have a bet. Yeah.
If they do Galway races, I doubt there'll be any crowds allowed, though. Seriously.
We'll have to bet online. And
But surely that takes the buzz out of betting. Like, I've been at the Galway races. I heard the horses gallop by. It was amazing atmosphere. Everyone was dolled up to the nines. I was looking at girls. I was like, really? You're going to walk around all day in your heels? There was people like shoving slips and money to these people on like these tall ladders.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't even know what that was. I just handed over a piece of paper. I got handed back one. And then I went and I saw the horses and So I get it. I get the buzz. I think I could love it. I think I'd be dangerous if I was good though. There you go.
Those guys are called totes, by the way. Those guys that you're talking about on the ladders and stuff that give you the bet slip when you're in like a racetrack, we'll say. Mm-hmm. And it's so funny. Whenever I go up to those guys, they're literally like, oh God. Because like they can just tell, like as in the guy before me is like, hey, give me a trifecta forecast on 4, 5 and 6. Give me a 3-1. Give me an aggra on, give me an acca on that. And then I come up and I'm like, hello. So I have €2 and I'd like to spend it on this horse. And he's like, oh my God. And half the time they're like, pal, the minimum bet here is like 1,000 or something. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. They're like, will you get out of here? So Kira, I am like you in many ways.
You can literally bet on anything, can't you?
You mean the outcome, the race, the outcome?
No. Not just races, like anything.
Oh, like as in you can get a market on almost anything. Like some bookies will offer you a custom market. Yeah. Like as in, so if you say, I think
have
it's called a market,
involved?
By the way.
Have we been involved somewhere along the lines when it comes to like announcing a new radio show or something like that?
We were, weren't we? We've been featured a few times when it comes to things like.
So I've been in odds, right? We've been in odds. Is that
we have been one of the options. I think they call it a market. Yeah. So as in, I think it was something like next host of the 9 o'clock news or something. And it was like, that's why you and I didn't have great odds for that, because the bookie was able to sit down and go, okay, when I'm calculating what odds I'm going to give here, it is very unlikely Chris and Kira are going to be presenting the 9 o'clock news. So
the flagship current affairs news show.
So I can give them like odds of 33-1 or whatever. I mean, it might happen. It's very unlikely. So I'll put them in there. But then, you know, someone like Brian Dobson or whatever, not very much
5-1.
Yeah, not even. He'd probably be like evens or something because it's that likely that it could happen. So, you know, they would. Evens, by the way, is you just get the same amount of money back. So as in you don't get like a multiplication of it. Again, for any like hardcore betting people, I know I'm probably not 1,000% accurate.
They're also probably crying listening to this podcast right now. Speaking of people listening to the podcast, Chris, I'm still interested to know where in the world people are listening to this podcast.
100%.
And do you know why I think it is? Because I was thinking about this. I was like, well, actually, I've always kind of been interested, even when we had the nighttime show and stuff like that, because of the friends that we've made along the way. And it's just interesting to think that we'd be listened to in different pockets of the world, you know, especially when you're stuck in a studio and you think that nobody's listening, you know.
Of course, because you see, with our thing, you don't see anyone who's listening.
See, that's it.
Yeah, yeah. There's
that's
tens
it.
Of so, like in Ireland, like 100,000, whatever, but you don't see it. So you
no,
don't really,
and
yeah,
people
yeah,
have
yeah.
been so, like the latest we heard, I think last week, was somebody was listening to us in the Smoky Mountains in Tennessee, and I just thought that was really cool.
Oh, yeah, we decided we're going to go there, didn't we?
Oh, yes, yeah. We did decide we're going to go there. So very Chris excited. And Kira at RTE.ie is the email address. Chris and Kira at RTE.ie. Or you can get in contact on Instagram. My Instagram is Kira King. My Twitter is at I am Kira King. And Chris is so on brand. His Twitter is at Hate Chris Green.
Yes.
And his Instagram is also at Hate Chris Green.
Very, very consistent. You know, a uniform look, Kira, across the breadth. Absolutely. All right. Well, listen, how about this? Here's what we're going to do. We will tell you to do that. And if you're here and you haven't subscribed or whatever, do indeed subscribe. And Kira and I promise we will not do any more punditry.
It'd be so cool if somebody was listening in Switzerland.
Would it? Because of Roger Federer. Oh, of course. Yeah.
Well, no, not because of Roger Federer, but just like I'd love to imagine that somewhere up in the Swiss Alps where cows are walking around with huge bells clanging around their necks and people are eating Lindt chocolate.
Yeah. You think that maybe that it would be nice, it would be a romantic thing, a romantic idea if somebody was listening there and, you know.
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough. I mean, like,
I just talked in the most stereotypical way about Switzerland, Chris. You know the way Americans talk about Irish people.
Yeah, 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 yeah. So that's why I
apologize.
That's why I'm wondering
to anybody listening in Zurich right now.
Yeah, to anybody who's one of these sophisticated, cultured Swiss people that has just had Kira describe the cowbells and like Lindt chocolate and all that,
and the snow-capped Swiss mountains.
Kira, we are up the mountains right now.
It's my dream sound.
This Frisian cow listens, I believe, to the show.
Yeah.
He told me.
Me and Heidi and all the kids from The Sound of Music.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. Well, this certainly is something, isn't it? I can't believe it. Well, listen, if you are listening in Switzerland, let us know. Kira would love to hear from you. And I'm trying to think if there's any other stereotypes from countries that, like, I feel that I'd like. If you're listening in Spain and you're in the middle of a bullfight, let us know. That would be great fun. That would be so much fun. All right, Kira, enough of this foolishness.
Oh.
All right. Well, look, until next time.
Stop. We could. What? Sorry. We could go on for. If you're in Australia and having a barbecue right there.
That's what I was worried about.
Yeah,
because
I know.
Then I was like, hold on.
We could get in trouble.
Yeah, because then I'm going to start saying things like,
hold on.
Yeah.
Let's bring it back to us. If you're in a pub in Ireland right now drinking Guinness, get in contact
with us. If you're mad for fucking pints from Ireland, get in contact. Yeah, we can make fun of ourselves.
Yeah, let's make fun of ourselves.
Can we make fun of the North at the moment? I don't think so.
No.
Is it a little...
No.
Yeah, fair enough. It's a little touchy.
That's a nope.
Yeah, all right.
If you're celebrating on the streets of London right now and you haven't had your second vaccination, I'd be careful. But also tell us if you're listening to Chris and Kira's podcast.
I hear they have it on in all of the pubs. In all, they're drinking their Krabby's ale and they're having eel pies and they're just in from their 18-hour shift doing a chimney sweep, and they're listening to the pod. See, I think we can make fun of the Brits with the stereotypes. That's fine.
Oh,
do you
we
know
can.
What I mean? Yeah, that's all right. They're not protected. But look, all right, enough. We'll get in trouble because you see the thing is, Kieran, you know what we both want to start doing, but that is not appropriate. Yeah, that's right. Anymore. Can't say anything anymore, Kira. The game of football's gone mad. You can't do anything anymore. But look, until next time, from myself, Chris, goodbye from Kira.
Goodbye. Chris and Kira. Weekends from 11.